Grace and peace to you in the name and spirit of Christ. We offer to you a heartfelt welcome to our service, whether you are here in person or are watching on Facebook Live. I'm Lorraine Finneson, and I'm doing the announcements because Pastor Mark is at Pilgrim Congregational UCC doing his part of a pulpit exchange with Reverend Peter Robinson, who is here today. Many of you know him from the time when Plymouth was meeting at Pilgrim. I've included a brief bio on Pastor Peter on the back of the bulletin, so please check that out. There are important announcements on the back of the bulletin, so I encourage you to read them. Particularly important are the announcements about our various outreach efforts and the upcoming Baking Day being sponsored by Nate and Amy Jones. And please note that we will have our Ash Wednesday service on February 18 at 5 o'clock p.m. in the Friendship Center. Please plan now to attend this very meaningful service. Let us now be in the spirit of worship.
Good morning, Mayflower. A hearty welcome to all as we have gathered for worship. Even in the eyes of secular historians, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is considered one of the greatest speeches ever given. As believers, we call it a sermon. Regardless, whether a speech or a sermon, Jesus has given us a foundational blueprint for understanding our faith and a guide for our relationships with one another and with God in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, where we find today's lectionary reading. It is our great privilege to welcome Reverend Peter Robinson of the Pilgrim Congregational United Church of Christ to the pulpit today, as Pastor Mark is preaching there. Our two churches are the two surviving siblings of our mother church, Plymouth Congregational. So it is high time we get to know each other a little better. In so doing, both Pastor Peter and Pastor Mark are using the same lectionary text from Jesus' sermon concerning salt and light, and Jesus' perspective on the Torah, God's sacred law. Let us continue in worship as we sing, pray, listen, and reflect. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we have entered into this safe place we call the sanctuary. Inside, we find other members of the beloved community with whom we share our joys and sorrows, and who are the salt of the earth, and who reflect the light of Christ as we continue the season of Epiphany. As we gain wisdom and perspective from the words and teaching of Christ, we ask you to bless Pastor Peter as he shares his perspective from his heart, which reflects your heart, from behind the holy desk. May all our worship be pleasing to you and inspirational to us, so that we all can be salt and light to the broken world as we leave this place. This we pray in the name of the one God who has sent, who brings eternal light into our worship, our lives, and our world. Amen.
In a world in which we can so easily turn on a light, it may be challenging to remember that when Jesus was speaking to his disciples and the crowd that had gathered on the mountainside, there were no electric lights, no lighted pathways, no flashlights. When the sun went down, everyone knew it would be dark. So Jesus, describing the disciples and other believers as light of the world, would have had a deep significance to them. Every week, each of us has an opportunity to shine some light as we share our faith and spiritual gifts with others, as well as our financial offerings. Let us now offer a prayer of thanksgiving for this morning's offering. Illuminating God, thank you for the ways you encourage us to let our light shine. Please accept these gifts, multiply them, and make possible the vision for us to use them wisely, that we might let our good works be seen and celebrated day by day. Amen. Please join me in prayer. It is a gift, O God, to gather in this place once again, to breathe together, to sing together, to listen for your still speaking voice among us. We give thanks for this community of faith, for familiar faces and new ones, for the many ways your love draws us into connection with one another. We thank you for moments of rest and recreation, for small joys that remind us life is more than what weighs heavy on our hearts. Even in a world that often feels noisy and divided, your presence steadies us and calls us toward hope. Today we give special thanks for the wider body of Christ beyond our own walls. We are grateful for the opportunity to welcome Reverend Robinson and for the shared ministry between Mayflower and Pilgrim. Bless this exchange of pulpits and perspectives. May it deepen relationships, spark new understanding, and remind us that your church is bigger than any one congregation. As we reflect on Jesus' words, calling us salt of the earth and light of the world, we pray not out of guilt or fear, but out of possibility. Help us see the quiet ways your people bring flavor to life through kindness, generosity, and care for neighbors near and far. Help us notice where light is already shining in acts of courage, in compassion for the vulnerable, and those who work for justice, peace, and the dignity of all people. We hold before you the concerns of our world, places longing for peace, communities rebuilding after hardship, leaders facing difficult decisions, and all who are worried from the weight of uncertainty. May your wisdom guide us as citizens of this nation and citizens of your beloved world. Be near to those among us who need comfort or strength today, those facing illness, grief, financial stress, or unseen struggles. We lift to you those named on our prayer list and those we now name aloud. We offer all these prayers with gratitude and hope, and now, as one community, we lift our voices in the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. This lectionary reading combines two units from the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus was teaching to his disciples and to the crowds that had gathered to listen and to learn. Jesus calls his followers to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. He then goes on to ensure that the listener understands the unity of Scripture and his teaching and his authority in interpreting Scripture. He emphasizes the importance of righteous living and fulfilling the law through love and faith. Hear now these words. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Thanks be to God.
Yeah, I guess it's my turn. Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. And I bring you greetings and blessings from the congregation of Pilgrim Church. And, you know, it's good. I think it's been mentioned. I feel very welcomed in all these prayers. Wow. I thank you for that. It's good to mix up the routine once in a while. And yes, to get a new perspective, a different perspective on things. And I'm sure that Pastor Mark will be around long enough so you can hear what he has to say about salt and light and all that stuff. Anyway. Well, let's pray. God, be with us in this time of examining your scripture. Help us to be truthful to your truth. And Lord, bless us with insight and inspiration. Keep us always in your love. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus declares to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." powerful statements, but they are also confusing statements, because Jesus does not say how or why we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. When we call someone the salt of the earth, we are usually, you know, calling them a kind and considerate person who humbly goes about, you know, doing good deeds for others. Well, that's not exactly what Jesus had in mind when he told the disciples this. But I think first we ought to get a context, and let's see, what is salt? We all need salt to live. There are certain chemical processes in the human body which need sodium chloride in order for us to function. And without a certain amount of salt, we would die. The good news is that we now live in a world where salt is plentiful. And the bad news is that most of us have too much salt in our diets because it's so readily available. God created us in a world where salt was not easy to come by, so we have an instinctual craving for salt. And before the modern age and industrialization, salt was mined by hand or taken off dried seabeds. Not so easy to come by. Salt was so valuable that people traded silver and gold for it. And there were some places where salt was used as money. Salt is the root word of our word salary, or, you know, what you get for doing a job. Salt was used for many different kinds of purposes in the ancient and medieval world. Salt was used to preserve food, especially meat. It was used to clean wounds, to improve sore throats, help get rid of earaches, remove spots from clothing, kill unwanted plants, get more heat out of boiled water, and 100 other uses. Today, there are over 14,000 uses for salt. It's not just for flavoring food anymore. Speaking of flavoring, Jesus goes on to say in the Sermon on the Mount, "But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? Well, it is no longer good for anything, but it is thrown out and it trampled underfoot," end quote. When we modern people hear this, we wonder, how can salt lose its taste or its saltiness? How is that even possible? Salt doesn't change, you know, its taste, although there seems to be some difference between regular salt that we get from the ground and sea salt. Sea salt is presented as being saltier than regular salt. I still don't understand that, do you? If someone knows about that, let me know. Well, let's put that argument aside. Saltier. However, before modern era and the advanced methods of purification of salt, people would get salt from all kinds. There would be all kinds of impurities in it. Salt would have other minerals and compounds. And so if you use some of this impure salt, the salt could lose its saltiness. When all the salt was gone and you were just left with those minerals and compounds, well, salt had no more taste. It's all gone, lost its saltiness, and it couldn't be restored. Well, this is the background about salt, and I hope that was interesting, but Jesus was not literally saying that his disciples were salt. He meant the saying as a metaphor. So how could Jesus have meant that his disciples and we today are the salt of the earth? Could Jesus have meant that, like salt has many different uses, that we have many different uses or jobs to do? We are to cleanse wounds, comfort those with sore throats and earaches, maybe help those remove the stains of hurt and hardship, or kill the weeds of cruelty and oppression. and put more heat in the boiling water of justice. We are the salt of the earth with many jobs to do. God has a job for each one of us. God has a purpose for our lives, and each one of us has our own unique role to play. Consider that. Consider this. We are the salt of the earth because God wants us to flavor the communities we live in. God wants us to flavor our communities with love and acts of compassion. We are the salt of the earth because we are to make life more savory for people. Remember, Jesus said that he came to give us life and life in abundance. God has many different jobs for us to do to make life better for everyone. When we live our lives and do our work with love and compassion, we are the salt of the earth. Okay, what do you think about that idea? All right. Well, how about the first thing I said about salt? That we need salt for the health and proper functioning of the body. Well, as the salt of the earth, we are essential for the health and proper function of the human body, namely, the society in which we live, and in general, the people in the world. A society needs love and compassion, or else it falls. It all falls apart. If people stop being loving and compassionate to some degree, people start being hateful and violent. Without love and compassion, other people simply become things to be used or destroyed. Without the salt of love and compassion, society, the body, malfunctions and destroys itself. We have some very rich and powerful people in the world who scoff at love and compassion as weaknesses. But love and compassion are really our greatest strengths. And that is what binds us all together. Perhaps the most significant point about being called the salt of the earth is that Jesus is not making a statement about our status, but rather he is telling us what our function is. Being called the salt of the earth does not mean that we have some superior moral or ethical status. It means that we have an important function to do, namely, being loving and compassionate. All right, check this out. Salt of the earth does not refer to us, but refers to Jesus. The salt of the earth and the light of the world is the message of Jesus of love to our neighbors. In the Old Testament and in the rabbinic commentary, salt and light referred to the commandments of God and the testimony of the prophets. Salt and light referred to the revelation of God to humanity. So in all likelihood, Jesus was talking about his message and himself. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says, he is the light of the world. And when the Bible says the earth or the world, it means the totality of people on the earth, everyone in the world. Jesus is the salt and light for all people on earth and everyone in the world. We are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and as far as we bear witness to Jesus' message, and we live out Jesus' teachings in our lives. In verse 16, Jesus says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." The message we give, the good works that we do, and the lives that we lead are to not draw attention to ourselves, but rather they are to draw attention to God. We are the salt of the earth and the light of the world because Christ lives within us, and we show others that Christ lives within us. We are the bearers of salt to the earth. We are the bearers of light to the world. We are the light because we bear Jesus' message and are witness of it. We are salt because we live out the teachings of Jesus. All right, consider you and I are not actually the salt of the earth, nor the light of the world, but we are vessels that carry the salt of God to the earth, and we are the mirrors which reflect the light of Christ to the world. We are not the sun, which produces light and warmth, but we rather are the moon, which reflects the sun's light to the earth. All right, let that sink in. But whatever, in anything we do, it all reflects back to God and Jesus. Our good works are not meant to point back to us, you know, as in, oh, look how righteous and good I am. No, but it's supposed to go towards how we see the righteousness and goodness of God and Jesus. You know, the Pharisees in Jesus' time wanted people to see them as righteous. They were, but they were self-righteous. Our righteousness comes from Jesus. So we are called to shine. But that shining is God and Jesus shining through us. So if we're not bearing Jesus' message to the world, and if we're not doing the good works in Jesus' name, well then, we are salt that's lost its saltiness. If what we do is not to point to God and Jesus, and we do not do good or in God's or in Jesus' name, then we have been corrupted by the impurities of the world. And we are salt that has lost its saltiness. And we are like a lamp hidden under a basket. The impurities of the world are greed, selfishness, conceit, arrogance, irresponsibility, among many others. Whereas the salt of the earth is compassion, kindness, mercy, forgiveness, sharing, respect, and more of those things that Jesus taught us and showed us by his example. There are churches who have lost their saltiness. They have forgotten that Jesus is the salt of the earth and the light of the world, not them. They have lost their salt because they have forgotten that their good works are not supposed to point to them, but rather their good works point to God. There are people and churches who seek their own glory and righteousness instead of God's glory and righteousness. For example, those who preach the prosperity gospel only use God and Jesus as a means to obtain wealth and power. Their real worship is not God, but wealth and power. God is not about power to manipulate people. God is about power to change our lives. That's what God hopes to do. God is about treating everyone fairly. It's not about making other people do what we want. It is about doing what God wants. There are churches who only want to have like-minded people. Now that's fine to want like-minded people around us. But the important part is whether we are like-minded like Christ. Are we following Jesus or our own political and social whims? Do we value what Jesus values? Well, there are churches which follow a sense of their own importance instead of the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead us to be salt and light for the world. But if we lose our connection to God by listening to our own voices or to the voices of popular figures, we will lose our saltiness and dim our light. Question to ask ourselves is not whether is God with us, but rather, are we with God? Are we with God? During the American Civil War, Abraham Lincoln was asked by an advisor, "Mr. President, do you believe that God is on our side?" To which Lincoln replied, "Sir, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side, because he's always right." I said that in the Old Testament and rabbinic writings that salt and light refer to God's commandments and the message of the prophets. Jesus lumped all the commandments into two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Loving God and loving neighbor are salt and light for the world. This is what adds flavor to the earth and brings light to the world. And our world needs light, the light of truth, salt of love. We are living in some dark times, my friends. People are becoming entangled in deceit and lying. They are cheating because others cheat. And they use violence. Violence that is being ignored, excused, and justified. Jesus has told us a better way to make a better world for all of us. Being salt and light has always been vitally important, but our world needs it now more than ever. So here we are in God's house to stay salty, or to get salty again if you've lost your salt, because people can get salty again. So we are here to savor our fellowship and to go out and flavor the world around us. Everybody needs salt. Our bodies need physical salt to live, and our spirits need the salt of God's love to live. And we need to use our salt to make our fellowship and our communities better by spreading the good news that God's grace is offered to all people. Then we need to bring light to the community to show people the grace and love of God in person. To improve our saltiness, we need to be clear about who we are as God's people. We need to be clear about what our mission and message is. And our mission and message has to have a clear and strong connection between the words of Jesus and the real world that we live in. We need to have our faith closely connected with the world around us, with all of its issues and its problems. And we need to be authentic about who we are. We all need to be salt and light for God. And God calls us to flavor our relationships and our communities with the salt of love and the light of hope to a world that lives in darkness. So let us be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, as Jesus would have us be. Amen. Thank you. Sorry about that. I wasn't you standing for long. Okay. You are the salt of the earth. So go out and season the world with God's love. You are the light of the world. Reflect the light of God in Christ, declaring that there is grace for all. Seek to put your light on a lampstand so that you may give light to the whole house. Don't hide it under a basket. Know full well that love and grace are not weaknesses, but rather they are our greatest strength and a gift from God. So God came to us in love and surrounds us with grace. God is our strength and wisdom. So go out to serve God and God's purposes. Be salt, be light. God bless you all. Amen.